And if you read about it in the paper that I got thrown out of Tractor Supply this week, it's not nearly as bad as you think it is. I just happen to be married to a woman who thinks that's funny. Last night we had to go to a banquet, and we had to supply them with a gift for the door prize table. We're going to a Tractor Club banquet. Let's go to Tractor Supply over in Charlestown, West Virginia. It's right on the way. She wouldn't let me go in and get the gift certificate. She said we had to get there on time. So when she went in without me, I came through the door behind her a couple of minutes after that, and I went, "Did you call me, honey? I'm here now." And she turned to the cash register and had them throw me out. That terrible woman, ain't it? And that woman was serious. She said, "Sir, you're going to have to leave or I'll call the manager." I said, "Don't you understand? I'm a stockholder in this company." I love my wife. She gets all these times that she's been picked on in here. Y'all need to know she gets me back. Others this morning, joys or concerns? If not, then let us move along. And if, as we come to the Lord in prayer, if you have an unspoken request, just that hand up and down. And let us move before Him. Thank you. Father, you give us humor. You give us joy. You give us laughter. You give us humor. And you give us the ability to see the blessings that are great. And you give us the ability to see those that are unseen. Because when we laugh, when we share joy, when we tighten up as a family, we are showing those blessings, Father. Great blessing is the birthday. A lot of jokes are made about it. A lot of people, "I don't want to think about another birthday," but here's evidence today, Father. Those are miracles that have happened. Miracles. That a child was born and grew up. And look at the miracle that they are, Father. They sit here worshiping you. What a wonderful gift that is to know them. What a wonderful gift it is to be able to say happy birthday to them. Pray we never forget that day being truly what it is. Father, we thank you for the blessings of prayers that have been answered. Cancer not there. Strengthening of the body. The child being returned back to school. We pray for Leonard, Father, as he goes through the surgery and he continues to battle against the frailties of this body. We pray also, Father, for the Brownsville church and for our church. Too often we might want to get lost in condemning the people that did that. But what have you taught us to be in prayer for them that they would come to know the errors of their ways, repent, and turn to you? And how thankful we are, Father, that it was not worse than what it could have been. For traveling mercies, Father. For those of us who will go away, I pray that when Pastor Tracy is here next week, his message is strong and from you and clear and beautiful. Thank you, Father. We pray for those not with us today. Anna and Margaret and Jean and Rachel. We ask you to lift them up, Father, in their time of need and comfort them with that everlasting understanding. Father, you can't help but burst at the seams when you think about the great power that lies just beyond. That the reward that we have been given is so great, and that while the things that are heavy on our heart, be they written down, these prayers in the prayer box, or that hand up and down, will be answered. And what a wonder it is. And we are especially thankful, Father, of the forgiveness of our sins. We need it. We need it. Father, we pray for those who are lost, who do not know Jesus Christ, who are trying to fill a void within their life. We pray that they come to know Him. Of course, Jesus is coming. We pray He doesn't tarry. But if He stays out long enough, more be added to that list. Let us reach out to those in our daily walk with life and talk freely of Jesus and the gift that He has. Father, we ask that You watch over and keep those who are close to us, our friends, our co-workers, those who serve us in every capacity, and for the government, Father, of all of our respective lives, that they make strong decisions based morally upon You, upon God, and upon Jesus. Draw us tight together, Jesus, and hear us as we pray the way You taught us, the way You laid down the words that You gave us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Psalm chapter 32. Verses 1 through 7 and maybe on down to 11. Every time I read it, I am not quite sure where I want to stop. And it's a short psalm. It's a joyful psalm. It's an eye-opening psalm written by David. Psalm chapter 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away, though my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. We're just going to keep going. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like a horse or a mule, which has no understanding, and must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all ye who are upright in heart. Psalm 32, so beautiful. Let us pray. Father, strengthen us for the message. I pray that the words that I speak belong to You. They merely come through me. I pray that they will uplift and open. I pray that they will be what is needed at this time, at this moment, for our daily walk in the world. And that these words will draw us closer to You, Father. I pray that we will set aside our labor and dwell on You and You alone in this time of worship. In Jesus' precious name, all of His children said, Amen. Here is a question. It's one that took me by surprise. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready? Have you sinned? Have you ever sinned? Of course you have. Here's the kick question. You ready? Have you ever sinned now that you're a Christian? Not so many voices all of a sudden going, there was that extra piece of pie that I told nobody was around, and I ate it for myself. I got asked that question here not too long ago, and it stopped me in my tracks because it made me wonder, what in my world, what in my life, what am I showing that doesn't show Christianity? So I questioned this person because they came to me wanting to know about sin. They said, "Have you ever sinned before?" I said, "Oh my goodness, yes." And they said, "Well, now that you're supposed to be a Christian, have you ever sinned?" "Well, yes." And they said, "Well, how does that work?" Oh, made me very curious. The question absolutely stopped me because he plugged out in front of it, "Now that you're a Christian, how can you sin?" Do you know what that told me? That something I wasn't doing, or something I was doing, wasn't getting the message across. And so we talked about it. And it brought me to an understanding of how easy it is that Christians today still sin and don't think about it. We just read Psalm 32 from David. He was writing a psalm thanking the Lord for forgiveness. Now, there ain't a single person in this congregation that don't know who David was. And yet, as Christians, we still sin. And the question is, do we sin knowingly or do we sin unknowingly? But we're Christians. Not supposed to sin, right? You're supposed to be perfect. When that guy cuts you off in traffic, you should drive to his house and thank him. Verbally. Emphatically. When you get cut off at the grocery store because you were peddling your cart with three items in it and you were going to get there and you looked and you said, "Hey, that line is about done, that person's about done," and you're chugging along and all of a sudden this woman comes in where she's got the cart that's piled over in groceries and the kids are behind her and each of them pulling the cart and they hurl right in front of you. You're still a Christian at that point, aren't you? Even though when you take your hands off the cart, your fingerprints are still left indented in there where you're holding on. Do you still sin if you're a Christian? The answer is yes. But the bigger question is why, and do we pay attention to it? Do we pay attention to it? A very intelligent man named J. Kirk Johnson once said in a book, Why Christians Sin, in 1992, he gave four reasons. He said, why would some rather choose to sin knowing what God wants to do? And he said, well, point one, some of them would point to Romans 8:16 and explain that Christians who willfully sin have forgotten their true identity as children of God. And while it is true that Christians can forget who they are and sin as a result, Christians can be well aware and sin anyway. We've all seen that, ain't we? Number two, he says, some Christians choose to sin because they have lost sight of what God done for them. Oh boy, right there. You go to 2 Peter 1, indicates that Christians can be blind or short-sighted, having forgotten their purification from their sins. Have we forgotten what was done for us? That might be what causes us to sin. Have we gotten so comfortable in what we do that we, well, I go to church on Sunday. I helped out at the church bazaar. I mowed the church grass. I cleaned the gutters. I carried pillows down to the local house so that those who don't have, I'm a good Christian. And all of a sudden we seem to forget that ain't what it's about. We've forgotten about the man that died for us and what we're supposed to be doing. I thought that second point made a lot of sense, but I read on. Point three. Some wisely state that Christians consciously choose to sin because they have forgotten that God will severely discipline disobedient believers. Whew! Oh boy. I can't wait to get to heaven. Because if that's true, there's going to be a book about this thick that he's going to start reading out of all the times I've ever driven a vehicle. Paul, on October 3rd, you were speeding in traffic, and when a car cut you off in front of you, did you shake your fist at them? Well, you know, what am I supposed to do? We get to forgetting things, don't we? We get to forgetting that just because we're Christians doesn't mean we can't sin. We get to forgetting that he's still going to have a talk with us when we get there. And we will still be disciplined. The psalm writer, David, talks about that. And the final point that J. Kirk Johnson said was, some have said that Christians who constantly sin, consciously sin, have lost their focus on the future. These Christians have forgotten that God will reward in heaven only those who have lived faithfully for Him here on earth. Christians who fail to keep eternity in mind often sin in the here and now. You know, I bring that up quite a bit. I tell you, hey, if I don't see you here, I'll see you over there. Do you know why? Because too many people forget that heaven is real. Too many people don't get it through their head, Christians, non-Christians, that there is a heaven and a hell, and they are very real. And when you die, you're going one of two places. You're going to heaven, or you're going to hell. There's no in-between place. There's no long list of waiting at the Denny's counter. You're going one of two places. And the only way you're going to heaven is by belief in Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to hell is by non-belief. Have you forgotten that? Statistics show that in today's world, in a poll taken not too awful long ago, several years back, that of professing Christians today that will tell you that Jesus Christ died for our sins, professing Christians today, 60% believe that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. 40% don't. What? You know, I have to take these classes and I have to go sit in other kinds of classes. And I'm asked to join in on certain things that I won't go to. One of them is interfaith, intercultural, interdenominational, I don't even think I can get the whole thing out, meetings as to how we can all become one body. Well, we can. I can't consciously go sit in a room with somebody who don't believe in Jesus Christ and talk about the way to heaven. Oh, I mean, I can, but I won't be in the room very long. I'm sure that they'll ask me to leave like they did at Tractor Supply last night. We have forgotten, at times, the reward and the discipline. And so we sin not necessarily thinking about it. Is there a difference in the size of sin? If you walk out the grocery store with 25 cents more in your pocket because the gal messed up counting back your money, is that a bigger sin than the guy that took somebody's life? No! A sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. I got 2 miles from the grocery store once, and it was after I became a preacher here. I am so scared of him. I got 2 miles. This is a true story. 2 miles from the grocery store. And I was sitting at the red light counting down. I said, oh, no. They gave me too much money. I turned around and went all the way back. All the way back in and handed the money back to her. And you know the cash register lady said to me? She goes, well, it really didn't matter. Oh, yes, it did. Because I have a feeling if I would have said those same things in the next mile, I'd have had a flat tire. Or the engine in the car would have blown up. Or I'd have got a speeding ticket. Or something. A sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. And we in this society stop forgetting that somewhere along the line. When you gossip about somebody, that's a sin. When you think that you're entitled and you want to tell somebody that they've got to take care of you, even though you can take good care of yourself, that's a sin. When you bear false witness, that's a sin. Those little ones start to build you up. David became calloused because David was king. David thought he had it all. He had destroyed all these armies. He had become great. He was the greatest thing around. He was it, and that's all there was to it. And you need to consider him just for a moment. But if you go back into your Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and you don't have to follow along because I'm only going to read one verse. We all know what happened. David, being the king, couldn't sleep one night, got out walking around on his roof and seen Bathsheba down there taking a bath. Wanted her. I'm the king. Send for her. And what did he do when he decided he wanted her? He killed her husband. Killed her husband. Make sure you understand that. This was the man that was after God's heart. When you say David, what's the first sight you conjure up in your mind? The young boy, right, with the sling, taking down Goliath, out there fighting off the lions, writing all these songs to him, singing to him. How in the world could someone as great as David had stepped away from so far to have a man killed so he could have his wife? Last verse of 2 Samuel chapter 11 says, when Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. And after the time of mourning was over, listen carefully, David had brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David did displeased the Lord. He became so hard, so callous, that this heart-struck boy forgot. There is no sin little. There is no sin big. There's sin. Of course, we all know what happened. The Lord called him on it. I wanted to make sure that you understand where I'm coming from. I got questioned on whether or not I still sin as a Christian. Yes. Sometimes consciously. Yes. Why? Because I have forgotten a few things. I have forgotten what is the gift beyond. I've forgotten what has been done. I have forgotten along the way somewheres. And brothers and sisters, that's something for all of us. How do you get calloused? How do you get so far away? I'm giggling right now because in a couple of days, I'm going down to Florida. And I'm not kidding. I'm going to get in a ring with 12 alligators and I'm going to wrestle one. Of course, as I'm told, it's just a big joke. You ain't getting near them and none of that kind of stuff. And I've been going around telling people, you know, while I'm in there wrestling one, wouldn't it be cool to get bit and have a little scar right there? Not a big one, but just a scar so that when you're in a party, people will look at you and go, what happened to your arm? I got bit by an alligator. You'll be the guy at the party that everybody walks away from. And that guy over there, there's something wrong with him. He's proud he got bit by an alligator. I get down there, it probably won't be a whole lot to it. But in 1982, people stared into sin and thought it was funny. I read this, that in 1982, ABC News reported on an unusual work of modern art. It was a chair to which was affixed a shotgun pointed at your head while you sat in the chair. Now, that doesn't sound like so much, but the gun was loaded and set on a timer to fire at an undetermined moment within the next 100 years. So at any moment, that gun could go off. How many people in this room would walk in there and sit down in that chair for the 15 seconds allowed so that you can say you sat in that chair, knowing that that thing was going to let go? Not even me. I'll admit, I'm pretty stupid, but I ain't that dumb. But people lined up to do it. It said that they would sit there and wait their turn to go and sit in that chair just to say that they stared down the barrel of a gun. You had to sit there for 15 seconds at point blank range, stared down the barrel of a gun, knowing that at any moment that thing could go off and end your life. We laugh at that right now. I'd never do that. Hey, no way you'd ever catch me sitting in that chair. But yet, when you start looking at sin as big and little, when you start forgetting what sin truly is, you just sit down in that chair. I have to keep myself reminded of it. I honestly do. I have to remind myself. Chuck Swindoll had the greatest thing. I was listening to him one day. He said, on my car, there are no crosses. There are no signs that says clergy. He said, there are no symbols of Christianity. He said, heck, I ain't even got that fish eating the fish. He said, there's nothing on my car. Now, if you don't know Chuck Swindoll, he preaches down there in Plano, Texas to a congregation of some 3,000 or 4,000 people. And he, if you've heard him, I love listening to him because he's got a real straightforward way about it. He says, I don't have any of that stuff on my car. He says, because the way I drive, I don't want anybody to know I'm a preacher. He makes a lot of sense because he knows that even with the glory of God, even with everything you have on your side, you are still going to sin consciously. It's how you approach the moments. Do you cuss in front of your children? Do you let them watch things on the television set they ought not to see? My dad told a story one time about how funny it is when a little baby says its first cuss word and you giggle. It ain't so funny when they're 10 or 15. Do you act differently around your friends than you would at church? Do you see things and say, well, that ain't such a big deal? Do you think things or say things and find yourself going, well, they had it coming? I was very angry yesterday, and it's funny that the church got broken into. I was very angry yesterday, and I even made the statement to Ellis this morning. I'm glad they didn't get anything of value, but they still broke into the house of God. And in a moment of lapse, I looked across the table at him and said, but I feel sorry for him and I pray for him, but I'd still like to get to know him. I slipped right there. Does this mean that what I'm telling you is going to be some great enlightenment that you're going to walk out the door and not do this again? No. Because we are who we are. But we belong to the Son of the Most High. And we can find ourselves paying more attention to the things that we can control. In the psalmist, its writings is, don't be like a horse. I will instruct you in the way to go. Now, there are a great deal of you in here who have farmed with horses. My grandfather once said that if you farmed with horses, you had about as much sense as they did. Alan, I don't mean to be disrespectful to your horse. He did not like horses. He loved tractors. But in order to get a horse to do what it has to do, you have to put the bit in and the blinders on. The psalmist writer says, don't be like that. Don't allow the world, don't allow the things around you to instruct you in such a way that you're not looking everywhere, that you're not paying attention to everything. When I got fired from the county and things were going out of control, the words of this psalm became very hard. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away, though groaning all day long. Verse 3, Psalm 32. Verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. I carried a tremendous load. Tremendous. With everything that I had done. And when God took away everything that was for me that I thought, I carried that load heavier until I admitted it. That's the thing. Judas Iscariot, Pontius Pilate, all of them said that they admitted sin, but it's when you admit the sin against God that you become released, that you become filled again, that you become known. David didn't just say, for I have sinned. David got up and said, for I have sinned against God. And acknowledged it, admitted it, and said, yes, I have sinned. Brothers and sisters, today my message to you is very simple. Watch for it. Don't allow the fact that you become protected by the cross, by the blood of Jesus, to callous you to the point where you forget what it truly is. Because it still waits there, like sitting in that chair. Watch for it. And when somebody says, have you? Say, yes, I have sinned. and here's why, and here's what I do about it. And if you are, brother, sister, then let me talk to you about what you can do to get away from it and come to know my Jesus, who simply told a woman accused of prostitution, what? Then I do not condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. Amen. Let us pray. Father, yes, I have sinned. I have sinned against you. And I know it. And unfortunately, I will again. And I pray your forgiveness upon the brothers and sisters gathered here today that are saying the same thing to themselves. Maybe something struck home. I pray for the brothers and sisters gathered here today, Father, that they will know to pay attention to it. That they will hear the words that David wrote that are so beautiful. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. How beautiful that is. I pray, Father, that we will never forget the gift that your Son gave us, the rewards that wait for us, that we will always be able to forgive ourselves by confessing our sins to you and receiving that forgiveness. And what do we get? Refreshed, strengthened, ready to lift up and go again. Thank you, Father. Thank you for forgiving my sin, our sin. Thank you for your Son who bore it all, that we may always have that place to go to. Yes, I have sinned, and I beg your forgiveness and thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And so I offer to you today, as we prepare to sing the last hymn, if you need that prayer, if you need that time, you can come up here. I'll pray with you or not. If you need to know Christ closer, you can come up here. Open your hymnals, please, to page 638, appropriately, the last hymn. I need thee every hour. Please stand, if you will, and join with us in the last hymn, number 638. Bye.